Thanks for tuning in to My Valley, His Victory, hosted by me, Mackenzie Smith, where I interview Christians who love the outdoors and have walked through valleys in their lives. In a world of highlight reels and surface-level relationships, we all have faced hardships. I believe our experiences can be encouraging to others if we have the courage to be vulnerable. 2 Corinthians 1 says, "The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." My goal is to inspire you to come to the Creator through His creation and connect you with Christians who have been through similar experiences. I pray that this podcast encourages you if you are in a valley and pushes you to share how God has turned your past valley into His victory. On today's episode of My Valley, His Victory, we have Addison Brown. She is a native Oklahoman currently living in Quapaw, Oklahoma with her dog Lily at a Christian camp. She loves taking a walk down to the waterfront and spending time outside. Thanks so much for being with us today, Addison.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, so why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners just a little bit more about you and who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. So I work at a Christian camp. That's already been mentioned. I found camp ministry during college. I started working in 2015 as summer staff, and so I was doing that for 3 years, and then did 2 internships at different camps, one in Texas, one in Colorado, and now I'm full-time here in Oklahoma.
Awesome. What's your role for the camp?
So I'm retreats lead, which means that I'm in charge of scheduling different retreats that come to camp, especially in the summertime. That's primarily my role. And then I'll host them while they're here and coordinate their schedule and all of that kind of stuff.
So. Okay. Very fun. Is this mainly a kids camp or is it an adults camp or all of the above?
So for us, it's all of the above. Our other sister camps are in Colorado and Texas, and they do kids camp in the summertime and then retreats all year, or in the retreat season, which is from August to May. Our camp is unique in that we just have retreats the whole time. And so our summer, we just have different churches and different, sometimes we have family reunions that come out and they'll just host their or do their own little retreat. And so they'll work with me in making sure that their schedule works and that we have our people at our facilitated activities and all that kind of stuff. So.
Very cool. I think that's so fun. Like summer retreats and going to camp as kids. Oh, yeah. I love that environment. And so I'm sure that would be such a fun place to work and get to be a part of.
Yeah.
So obviously you work at a camp, but what does outdoor recreation look like for you outside of what you do at camp?
Yeah, so most of the time I'm outdoors, especially in the summertime, I'm outdoors a lot. It's not necessarily doing the activities that I would prefer to be doing, but I do try to be outside as much as possible. My favorite is hiking, and I really enjoy camping as well. Again, with summertime, I don't get to do a lot of that because the schedule is absolutely crazy. But yeah.
Yeah. Is that something that you've done your whole life, or kind of how did you get into hiking and camping living in Oklahoma? Because that's not a state I would necessarily say is, you know, a hiking and camping state.
Yeah. So my brothers were both in Boy Scouts. And so anytime they went on a camping trip, I almost always went with them. And then, so I've loved camping for a really long time. I think it's funny though, because as I get older, the more I saw a meme the other day that was like, once you hit 30, you need like all the specific requirements to go to sleep. And like, I'm getting close to that. And so I'm like, yes, I need all of these things before I can sleep. And so camping isn't as fun to me anymore because I really value sleep, but I still really enjoy it. And then hiking, I got into hiking probably in college, and different friends were like, let's go walk in and hike in and all this kind of stuff. So yeah.
Do you get to, I know you said you're busy a lot in the summer, but do you get to travel very often, and kind of, do you have a favorite place that you've been or a place that just holds a special place in your heart?
Yeah, absolutely. I love going to Colorado. I have a friend up there. She lives in Colorado Springs. And so one of the camps that I worked at up there was like 1 hour 45. So I love going back up there. One of my favorite like little unique hiking places that I love to go to is Jasper, Arkansas. It's absolutely beautiful in Arkansas. And I think it's like a little slipped on a little bit, a little underrated. Nobody considers Arkansas, but it's absolutely gorgeous.
Arkansas is one of those, I'll agree with you, like sleeper state. There's a lot of outdoors, especially like climbing and like kayaking and good hiking. And, you know, it's not mountains, but it's very hilly. And so, I spend a lot of time in Arkansas. My mom lives there. And so totally agree with you that it is one of those states that's kind of a hidden gem.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So I love that you mentioned that because it is... It is true. And there's a lot to do there. Mm-hmm. But so obviously this is a Christian podcast. So would love to know just how the outdoors and being out in nature plays a role in your relationship with Christ.
Yeah. I think that it's a reflection of God truly. And so I just really think that like all of creation points to him. Like we point to him and everything that we see points to him. And it all just shows our need for a savior.
Yeah. Can you share us just a little bit more about like what that looks like for you?
Yeah, I have always been drawn to the water and like places with running water in it. Most of the camps that I worked at, if they have like a body of water, I'm like, yes, let's go. I want to be near it. Let's have a little quiet time. That's great. And just, one really cool thing is like my first camp that I worked at, we would find these friendship rocks, and they're essentially just little rocks with holes in them. And so they've been done by like natural causes and whatnot. Nobody's like gone around, drilled holes in them. And so we would take those rocks and then we'd make a friendship bracelet out of it and then give it to a friend. And so I have just always thought those are so cool because like it's the persistence, either whether they're found really close to the water, it's the persistence of the water to take another rock and just drill it into there. But to me, it kind of just like, it's like our people coming together and like, it's their persistence that drills into you a little bit and just like the power and the impact that somebody has in your life or the power and the impact that God has in your life, just to like be persistent in that. And it can change you in extraordinary ways.
Yeah. I love that analogy and that tangible thing that you can see in nature that reflects, you know, something that we can see in our everyday life. And I think that is true. And it's kind of that, you know, that famous scripture of like iron sharpens iron, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it might feel weird at first, like to have someone that close to you and kind of really drilling into your life. But I really think like as believers, that's something that we really need and that accountability. So I kind of want to step back a little bit and talk about how you got into this camp ministry. Like, how did you end up here? Is this something that you foresaw, you know, as a young kid that you wanted to be a part of, or kind of how did this happen?
Yeah. So growing up, I actually like never went to camps, which is really funny. I think the first time I went to camp, it was sixth grade, and my mom only let us go one time. And so I have a twin sister. And so she like, we did everything together, but she only let us go once. And so after that, I didn't even think about it. Honestly, I started in college and I was a fashion marketing major and I thought I wanted to make clothes and design clothes and make people or make women feel good about themselves and their bodies and all that kind of stuff. And then I was a middle school leader on a youth trip and we went to camp and I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually really cool. And so that was the first time where I was like, oh, I could actually like make a career out of this. This is awesome. This is what people do. And so after that, in 2015, the very next summer, I was like, sign me up. I want to do this. And so I applied to several different camps and I had like a really, really good interview with one and they were like, hey, actually, we are going to pass on you and we're going to send you somewhere else. And so I was devastated. I was like, God, I thought this is where you were calling me to for the summer. Like, what is going on? And so talked to my dad and he's like, hey, you should try out this one camp. They have a camp in New Mexico, but they also have a camp in Texas. And so I applied there. And they only had like 10 girl spots. This other camp had 100 girl spots. And I was like, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but if this is where you want me to be, I know you're going to make it happen. And so, I got the job. And after that, it was just like every summer, I was like, this is awesome. And I know that God uses camp in such a unique way. And so this is where I want to be. So yeah, that's kind of how I got into it. And then I ended up changing my major because I was like, I want to work with youth. And then after a few summers at camp, I was like, I want to be here. I want to be outside. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool. I think that'd be such a fun job. I think I said that earlier, but saying it again, I think it'd be a fun job to work at a summer camp. And especially, mm-hmm. you know, it's really cool that you get to, you know, include both your ministry and, you know, the outdoors together.
Yeah.
I'm all about that, obviously. Yeah. So anytime you can put the two together, I'm like, yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I would love for you to kind of just share a story specifically about the outdoors in a time where you just really felt God, or that God revealed himself to you through the outdoors.
I think one of the big parts of it is just like with the Friendship Rocks and everything, and just like being outdoors and then having those people that I can be around. And so I think with that first summer of finding those Friendship Rocks, and every year after that, it's just been like, find those people that are yours and that you know can pour into you and you can pour into them, and just encouraging them, especially in camp ministry, because we're outside a lot and it's hot and, you know, we're working long, long hours. And so I think even I was reading the other day in Zechariah, I believe, and it talks about two anointed ones. And so I was like, what does that mean? I don't really understand. But one of the commentaries that I read was like, this, in a lot of stories and a lot of places in the Bible, God talks about two people working together in ministry. And so it doesn't have to be a significant other. It could be literally anyone, but just finding that one person to just be like, hey, let's do this together. Like, let's go through this and know you're not alone and you don't have to fight on your own and you don't have to go through it on your own. And so I think that has just been a really important part in all of this, is just finding that person to be like, hey, let's do this together.
Yeah. And at working at a camp in the capacity that you do, is the staff like changing every summer, or do you have those people that kind of stick around year after year?
Yeah. So here where I work, we have about 8 to 10 full-time staff. And then every summer we do have a different change of summer staff. So.
Okay. So every year you're dealing with brand new people
yeah.
in your job and consistently just working with 8. And you live at the campus as well, is that right?
Yes, yeah.
I feel like that could be a little bit challenging.
It most definitely is.
So most of the people that come to the camp, are they locals or do they come from all over the country?
So we kind of get a large mixture of everyone because of where we're located. It's kind of in the 4-state area. So we get some people from Arkansas and Missouri and Oklahoma and Kansas. And then we also just get like random people from everywhere else. So we have groups quite frequently in summer from Texas. We've had a group from Illinois before. It's yeah, they're kind of all over. So,
yeah. That's fun that you get to make those connections all over the country, and
mm-hmm. yeah.
also having that ever evolving staff. It seems like you yeah. get to interact with a lot of different people and mm-hmm. kind of teach them about the outdoors. And I feel like this is like a great segue into my next question, because obviously they learn how to spend time with God in the outdoors at this camp, but maybe they go home and they don't live in, you know, this outdoor oasis that you guys yeah. have at camp. So what are some things that you would recommend to a listener, or maybe even to your campers, of how to connect to God through the outdoors, even in their everyday life at home?
Yeah. I think a huge part of it is really just being with people too. I think a lot of times we kind of forget that it's all part of God's creation. And that also means like our neighbor and our brothers. God made them all just as much as he made the beautiful views that we see. And I think a lot of times people are quick to be like, I need to get away. I need to go somewhere else. And I just need to like disconnect from everything, which like, that's great too, but also God made people and he made us for community, and we're not supposed to do this on our own.
Yeah. Piggybacking off of that, what are some practical ways to find community or to be surrounded by those kinds of people? Because I think that is a really big thing that people struggle with, is not having that yeah. community. So where do you recommend people look or try to find those people?
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, first and foremost, I think we are made to be part of the body of Christ. And so finding a church that you really enjoy, you don't necessarily have to go find a small group with that church, but find one person in that church that you connect with and just start off there. And it can be starting small, and just like letting them in. I have a hard time with letting people in a lot of times. And so I'm very much to be like, let's put on this face, let's go. And then I struggle a lot and I'm like, oh my gosh, why is this so hard? Why can I not find people? But also it's part of changing your own heart and letting people in and being open with other people.
Yeah. So like if I were to walk into a church for the first time ever, what does that look like? What do I walk up and say to somebody that I'm like, hey, I need community. Like any advice there?
I would say just ask if you could go out to coffee with somebody. It doesn't have to be like a formal event. You don't have to be like, hey, can I come over to your house? And just be like, hey, I want to go to lunch after church or something. Do you want to come with me? Or let's hang out after work or whatever. It doesn't have to be anything super big. It doesn't have to be anything super planned. It could just be like, hey, let's go somewhere.
Yeah. I think that we really struggle with putting ourselves out there sometimes. And I know, you know, this has hit home specifically for me just in the past year, living in a lot of different places and living on the road, you know, walking into a lot of new churches and knowing no one. And, you know, I think that it is uncomfortable. Oh, you know, I'll very much validate that. It is uncomfortable to meet new people. Yeah. It's uncomfortable to be the new girl. It's uncomfortable to be someone that has no friends in a place, or to be, you know, just lonely. Like that is uncomfortable. But it's like I said, those things are uncomfortable, but also walking up to someone is uncomfortable. So which uncomfortable would you rather have? Would you rather have my 5 second, I'm uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. Like, let me go talk to this girl that looks friendly, who's, you know, greeting people at church or whatever. Or do I want to be uncomfortable for months?
Yeah.
You know, it's like kind of pick your poison in a capacity. Yeah. And so I can totally relate to that. And, you know, for all the listeners who are like, that sounds really uncomfortable. Like, I know it is.
Yeah.
I will be the first one to validate it. But it's even more uncomfortable to be lonely and to be a stranger in a church for months or years, you know?
Absolutely.
And so you have to put yourself out there, and I promise it's worth it. And what's the worst someone says? No, no one's going to be like, ew, no, I don't want to be your friend. Like people aren't like that these days. So switching gears a little bit into the title of this podcast, My Valley, His Victory, would love for you to share a valley or a season of wilderness that you experienced and kind of just what God taught you or prepared you for in that season.
Yeah. So similar to you, I have a hard time finding community. When I worked as interns at camp, like that's built in community with you all the time. You're with them almost 24/7. And so coming out of that, you're like, how do I find community? How do I do this? And so I think for a long time, I have been not necessarily like a lone wolf, but I used to kind of consider myself to be a lone wolf. I'm like, hey, it's okay. I don't need this. And so just realizing specifically in the past few years, the time that I've been here, that like, God made us for community. And so there's been a lot of times where I have struggled here and I've been like, I don't have anyone here. I'm kind of on my own. I'm doing this on my own. And I was okay with that a little bit. There was a part of me that's like, yeah, I'm strong enough. I can do this on my own. And then the other part's like, I'm actually kind of really struggling and this is really hard. And so just like really, truly going out and seeking community and letting somebody in. I read this other book the other day. It was a fiction book. It's not even biblical, but it was like, what, like, even when we have on these masks, like, what does it look like to go out and maybe just find one person and take off one piece of this mask and just be like, hey, I'm going to just share a little bit about myself with you. And that's scary because I'm taking off this mask that I've worn for so long, but I'm going to do it. And so just like even realizing that we were made for community. And I think a lot of times we forget that and we really do get into that mindset of I'm strong enough to do this by myself. But when you look at the Bible, nowhere in there is it like, no, you got to go by yourself. He doesn't say that. And so it's really like we were made for community. And 1 Corinthians really talks about that. 1 Corinthians 12:12-27, where it talks about we are parts of the body and no part is detestable. But it's just like, we were all made for part of the body. And even to go further into that, if I am hurting and I don't tell somebody, that could limit what the body of Christ can do. And that limits like what they can do for you as well. And so it's just like being open and saying, hey, I'm actually hurting, so that the body of Christ can come along and say, hey, you're not alone. Let's tackle this together. And then we can go out and do more for the body of Christ.
Yeah. I think that I hear a lot of myself and you and, you know, kind of that independent mindset of, you know, like, I can do it on my own, like, I'm good, and not really letting people know what's actually going on a lot of times. Yeah. And so, you know, that's something that is, I would say, like, you know, that comes from a deep root of something. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's probably not something that just happened overnight. I'm sure that's right. Not something that you just started to do. And so would love for you to walk us through practically what that specifically looked like, what mindset, you know, switches or things you had to do to change your mindset about that, and like the intentionality behind making that switch, and just kind of what that looked like.
Yeah, I think the first part of that is really just finding that one person to be like, hey, I want you to partner with me in this because I can't do this on my own. And so just taking off that one part of the mask and saying, hey, I'm going to be real with you and I'm going to choose you to walk through this with me. And just like really choosing to be okay with it and choosing to be like, hey, I'm going to step back for a second because it's actually not about me. It's about the body of Christ. And I'm going to put this aside so that we can do this together and we can move forward together and do more for the body of Christ.
Yeah. So I know you said on our earlier call that we had about, and I know that being in ministry, this is something where you're constantly pouring into other people and you're constantly, you know, lifting people up. And so you talked a lot about like not being able to pour from an empty cup. And so would love for you to just elaborate on that for the listeners and kind of what you're talking about, how if you don't let people help you, like you won't be able to help others, and just kind of, you know, elaborate on that for us.
Yeah. So it's super important to be in the Word and just taking time to rest. I think that's one thing that I've really learned in this season as well, is that we find our rest from God, and that doesn't come from anywhere else. And so if we're looking for our moments of rest without keeping God in that and seeking out Jesus first, then we're missing the point of rest. I think the Bible talks about it clearly. It says Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so if we take that time to really dive deep into him and seek him out, like we'll find rest there. And so even with that, if we're not doing that and we're going out and keep going and going, like I tend to do a lot, we're just going to get more and more tired and we're going to get burnt out, and we're not going to be the best that we can be for other people if we don't have anything in us to pour out.
Yeah. And I think it's important what you said, like we can't be our best for other people. And I think that so often we get focused on like, well, I'm not being my best self, but it's like, it's never going to, or let me not say never, but it's hard to really want to be the best for yourself and to keep that going. Like, I think we all need a deep internal why. And I think we all do better when we have someone else that's spurring us along and who is causing us to show up for them, you know? Yeah. And so I think that that's really important that you specified that. And it's like, yes, we need to be the best version of ourselves, but also the other people around us need us to be the best version of ourselves so that we can serve them best. Because in reality, it's all about serving other people. And so if I don't show up my best, then I'm doing you a disservice as a friend or as a colleague, or, you know, whatever that is. So I want to ask, what kind of caused, I know I asked the intentionality behind the mindset switch, but what actually like caused this mindset switch of, I want to be a lone wolf to, I need community? Was there, you know, something that happened? Did you kind of like hit rock bottom? Like what happened to actually make you turn the ship from that mindset to the other?
Yeah, I don't think it was anything specifically that just happened. I think I was going through it and I was struggling and I was like, why am I struggling? And then I really made a point to be in the Word more, and just the things that were revealed, it was more and more like, hey, you're not meant to do this alone. Like, and that's okay. And to try and go through it on your own isn't going to work out. And so I really think that's just being in the Word more was a really eye-opening experience, and just learning like, hey, you can't, it's going to make it so much harder to try and do it by yourself. So go out and find somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but I know I have, where if we don't let people into our lives, then chances are like they're going to have walls up to us too, and we're going to feel that disconnect. And so if we have the desire to be closer to others, I know I have the desire to love others very hard, but I usually don't let others love me. And it's like, at some point there's going to be this like sliding scale where it's like, well, you're not letting them in. So like, there's a level where they're putting up a wall too, because they can tell that there's not open vulnerability in here. Have you ever experienced that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And so it's like, the more I desire to be close to people, the more I have to let down my walls and open up as well. And so I know that sounds uncomfortable. I know that that sounds really foreign to a lot of people, but you know, I think that a lot of people think that there's going to be this like, oh my gosh, you're struggling with that. Like, that's so weird. Like, you know, and chances are like, they're going to have either like a Me Too moment, or they're going to be able to like help you, or they're going to know somebody that's gone through the same thing and they're going to be able to serve you. Like, I think that so often we're like afraid that the worst possible scenario that is going to happen. And it's like, I would bet 99 times out of 100, like, no one's going to be as mean as you think they're going to be.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think people too, they hear something like this and they're like, I have to share my whole life story with them. Like, I can't do that. And like, that's not what we're asking either. It's just sharing like even just a little bit about yourself, or just a little moment, just having a connection at one point. It doesn't have to be really sharing your whole life story. It can just be like, oh my gosh, did you see that on TikTok the other day or something? That was so funny. And it could just be something as small as that to really open the door and start being vulnerable and sharing with people.
Yeah. And I think like being obedient to that tug on our heart, because I think a lot of times like God prompts us to like share or to go up to somebody or to say something to somebody. And I think oftentimes we don't always listen to that tug on our heart. And it's like, you're feeling called to this person for a reason. Like, go explore and see what that has in store. Like, you know, it could be something, could be nothing, but might as well find out. I think so many people get caught behind the like, or like, I know me, I'd rather live in the I tried and I failed, instead of like, I wonder what would have happened if I would have done that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this also has to hit a totally different level of like vulnerability and friendship, because you not only live with the, or not only work with those people, but you live with them. And like, I feel like your whole lives are kind of, it's like your roommates that work together, and there's a lot of, or not a lot of separation in that as well. So where's that line between like in your situation where you work of, you know, that alone time and that distance away from your workspace being also the same people that you live with and, you know, play with and all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because we're such a secluded, in such a secluded place, like, we see each other all the time and we're around each other a lot. And then we do like little events or something, like, we're having a Galentine's Day with all of us girls next week. And so we have a lot of events together, but then each of us also have our own churches that we go to. We all go to different churches. That's not necessarily something we planned or something that we said, hey, we can't all go to this church, but just like through finding our own community in the area. So I think that's a big part of it. And so we're a part of different churches in different communities outside of this community as well.
Okay. Very cool. So you have a little bit of separation from each other. Yeah. I can relate to that on some capacity because I worked in Alaska for a summer on a glacier. And so awesome. Lived and worked with the same 16 people, mm-hmm. you know, for 4 months. And we had one day a week where we could go off the glacier and then like kind of do our own things. But we all still ended up hanging out with each other. But, yeah. you know, just like that, at some point it hits that. Like, oh, I need a break from you. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's like, it's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't like you. It's just like, this is a lot when you're in those kinds of situations and mm-hmm. you do this year round. So I can't imagine quite what that's like, but that's crazy. So looking back on your journey, what was kind of the main lesson? I mean, I know you said like, you know, open up, find community, but kind of what was the main lesson you took away from this valley?
I would say just by being closed off and keeping it all in, we're inhibiting what the body of Christ was made to do. Like we were made to go out and help others. And like, think of how much more, if the hand doesn't tell the rest of the body it's hurting, like that's going to kind of make the whole body struggle in its ministry to go out for the kingdom of God. And so by letting people in and sharing those things, it says, hey, I'm hurting. And so it's like, let me go alongside you and pick you up and show you what the body of Christ is made to do so that we can go out for the kingdom.
Yeah, that's really good. Really good. And then also would just love for you to leave a word of encouragement for someone who might be going through the same thing. Like what advice or word of encouragement would you give to someone who finds themselves in the same situation you did during this journey?
Yeah, I would say really it's about changing your heart on it and just putting yourself aside for a second and just taking a step back and being like, why am I here? We're here for the kingdom of God and we're here for his mission, not our own. And so it's just taking a step back and saying, okay, let me get my priorities in check. Let me put myself aside for a second. And then to say, okay, I want to share in this with somebody else. And I want someone to help me and come alongside me that we can encourage each other and point others to Christ. And so putting yourself aside and then saying, I'm going to open my heart to this. I'm going to pick one person. I'm going to share maybe something small with them and then build up on that. And that way we can go and do more for the glory of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Addison, for sharing your story and for encouraging us to go and get in community because, man, absolutely. We need that. We need that. Absolutely. And we need the church. And I know there's a lot of people that are, you know, kind of getting away from the church and organized religion. And it's like, yes, church is really important, but also, you know, church is where two or more believers are gathered. And so... Mm-hmm. Whatever that looks like for you, you have to have people in your life that you can entrust with what you're going through and that can build you up and point you to the word when we need it. And so I just thank you for sharing what you shared. I think this is encouraging for those listening who need some community in their life. Mm-hmm. And so for our listeners who may want to keep in contact with you or learn more about you, where can they find you?
I'm currently on Instagram, @2rad. And then I have a Facebook as well, Addison Brown. So.
Awesome. If y'all are in the Oklahoma area, hit her up and maybe you guys can go hiking and camping together.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Addison.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of My Valley, His Victory. If you or someone you know are interested in being on this podcast, please email myvalleyhisvictory@gmail.com.